This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the world championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's awesome to have you with us, and I get to share a pretty cool story today. And it's the first time we head to Italy on the podcast, and a great pleasure to welcome Federica De Nicola onto the show to talk a little bit about her journey. She hasn't been in the sport that long, but she is an absolute machine and getting some great results. Finished second in her age group, Kona 2016, heading back in 2017 with one goal and one goal only, and that is to win her age group. So that's coming up on today's show. Don't forget, if you are running out of time, if you'd like to win that entry into a half Ironman race, I'm going to be paying for someone this month and every single month for the rest of the year to the value of $350. All you need to do, if you'd like to get into the draw, head over to thekonaedge.com/win, become a patron of the show, and we'll put your name in the draw. For every dollar you pledge and help us keep the lights on, you get one entry. So that's thekonaedge.com/win. Don't forget as well to head over to our Facebook group. We've got some cool things going on there. It's thekonaedge.com/Facebook. It'll redirect you straight across to that as well. It's time for today's Coach's Corner. If you're an athlete looking for a coach, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, we've got access to some of the best triathlon and Ironman coaches around. If you'd like to find out more or hook up with one of our coaches, whether you need help with a swim, bike, run, or nutrition, all you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. You can get all the details there. Check out all the coaches that we've got access to. And don't forget, too, if you are a coach and you would like to get access to the podcast and get a bit of a plug on the podcast, all you have to do is head over to that same URL, okay? It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and you can get all the details there. So that's thekonaedge.com/coaching. We head to Milan in Italy now, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Federica De Nicola onto the podcast. Federica, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brad.
Federica, I'm super excited to have you on. You're the first Italian that we've got onto the podcast, so hopefully the first of many. Tell me a little bit about your journey into the sport. You haven't been around triathlon for that long. It's just been a few years that you've been in the sport now, if I'm correct.
Yeah, that's true. I started just 3 years ago, and I started as a total newbie. I come from none of these three sports, and I started as a bet. I enrolled in an Ironman 70.3 just to finish it and be the first finisher among my friends. And I participated in Rapperswil 70.3. And finished it in 6 hours, and I had an awful race, but I was so happy to be a finisher that I fell in love with the sport and started to train seriously to improve my abilities and become better and better.
I love the fact that it was a bet. Federica, was there wine involved in this bet?
Sorry?
Was there any wine involved with the bet when you first got into the sport?
It was my ex-boyfriend. And I wanted to finish it before him. So I managed to, so it was a great win for me.
Fantastic. Federica, from a sporting background perspective, have you always been fairly active?
Yeah, but just to keep fit, I was not really competitive. So I just ran in the park or had the non-competitive races, nothing serious actually, but triathlon changed this part of me, because now I'm very, very competitive.
were you competitive in other parts of your life? I mean, growing up academically, when you were studying, were you always were you trying to be first? Did you have a competitive streak in you?
Yeah, definitely. In high school, I competed in the national translation competition of ancient Latin and Greek, and I was the Italian champion, actually. But it's really another kind of competition.
But it's still the competitiveness, and by the sounds of it, you've taken that competitive nature that's always been in you and applied it to triathlon.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, it's true. I just changed the kind of competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Federico, what do you do for a living? What's work-wise, what do you do?
I'm a student. I'm a medical student, actually, so I have a long way to follow. Because I'm 24 and medicine usually takes 6 years plus the residency, so I'll be ready to work around 30 years old. So it's a long way.
Where do you get the time to train and study? I mean, if you're in med school, it's not an easy course to be doing. You must be pretty good at time management.
Yeah, definitely. I usually wake up around 5 o'clock every day. And start the day with the swim training, with the swim session. And last year I used to go to university every day, so I had less time to train. This year I talked to my professors and they accepted to let me have a different frequency at university, so I just go when I have to do my exams, etc. And I'll be ready to graduate in 7 years instead of 6. But that's a great thing for me because I can train enough and manage my time in a different way and have time to rest. So I can study from home and train throughout the whole day. That's pretty my routine.
Awesome. Federica, that first half Ironman that you did, you said you finished in 6 hours, which in your mind isn't a great time. Was it on that day that you decided, I like this, I want to get fast and I want to get better?
Not on that day. That day I just fell in love with the sport. Then I started to train with the team. And I started to be competitive with my teammates. So I wanted to be better than them. And I wanted to win something. So I found a coach and I asked him to bring me to the 70.3 World Championship. So in 2015, I enrolled in Ironman 70.3 Barcelona and I took the slot for the 70.3 Ironman World Championship. And that year I was a 6th in my age group. So it was a big result for me as I was training just from 1 year. And it was a great achievement. And at the end of that year, I decided that it wasn't enough for me, so I wanted to do something more, and I wanted to take part in an Ironman. So at the end of the year, I enrolled in Ironman Cozumel and arrived to the finish line really, really, really tired. I was completely destroyed from the race, but it was the best feeling I've ever felt in my whole life. And qualified for Kona. So this was the start of the real journey, my real triathlon journey, as a serious athlete, let's say.
That's amazing. Did you go to that first Ironman in Cozumel that knowing that you wanted to get a Kona slot? Was that the goal? Or knowing that you hadn't been that distance before, you just wanted to finish and see how you went? What was how did you approach it?
In the beginning was just, okay, Cozumel is in November, so I want just to finish this Ironman and understand how this distance is different from the 70.3. And then next year I'll try to take the slot. But I kept it really cool and I arrived to the finish line in 10 hours 50. That was not a bad time in my opinion. And I took the slot, so I thought, okay, that's my race, that's my distance. I'll take it as a sign. And the following year, I wanted to do another Ironman because I didn't want to go to Kona with just one Ironman on my shoulders. So I enrolled also in Ironman France. That was my favorite race. because it's really hilly and there's a long climb, and I love climbs on the bike. And I was first in my age group and 13th overall. That was a great achievement to me. And it was a great training for Kona. And then, I went to Kona and I gave it all. But I died on the last 10Ks on the run. And I was first in my age group till the 30th kilometer. Then I died and I arrived to the finish line second. But hopefully this year I won't die at the third at the third kilometer and manage to do better.
What made Kona so tough, that last stretch on the run? What's, looking back now, what do you think it was?
It was too hilly to me. I was prepared to the hilly bike, to the wind, to the hot and humid weather, but I didn't think the run was so hilly, and my muscles just didn't stand it, and I died.
As far as preparations from that one to this year, obviously the goal is to go back in 2017. Are you doing anything differently? Have you changed much about the way you're training?
I'm doing so more strength exercises in all the three disciplines. I have never been very strong. As I was keeping just fit, my muscles weren't so developed, let's say. So I started to hit the gym twice a week. And also during my weekly training, I have a specific strength session in the swim, in the bike, and in the run. In the swim, I use a lot of pedals and bands. And in the bike, I always do SFR, that has the slow repetition, the slow frequency repetitions. That are one of my favorite workouts. And in the run, I use the treadmill with a 3% incline to, and I run at a fast pace for 30 seconds. 30 seconds I run, 30 seconds I stop. And that's really a great exercise for your calves, I think. Mm. And these three trainings are really improving my training.
Federica, let's talk about the experience of racing in Kona and being prepared. Italy, I don't know, to be honest, I don't know much about sort of Milan, but I know just from watching cycling, particularly in Europe and the Giro d'Italia, it's not the flattest of places. Yes, there are parts that are flat, but as far as the cycling and the routes that you would generally ride, you mentioned you like the hills. I mean, you fancied the Nice course, and the Ironman Nice course is pretty tough. That cycle is hard. Do you get to ride lots of hills around where you live?
Well, actually, Milan is the flattest part of Italy. But during the weekends, I usually take the car and go to the lakes. Or there are two big lakes close to Milan that are 1 hour far away with the car, that are the Lake Maggiore and Lake Como. The Como Lake is pretty famous around the world, I think. And my long bike session is usually going around the whole lake. And around the whole lake, there are many mountains and hills, so you can have different climbs with different inclines, but also flat rides around the lake. It's a pretty good place to ride, and biking comes easy because there are good places and good panoramas, so it's my favorite, definitely.
Tell me a little bit about the triathlon scene in Italy. I know, like I said, cycling, I know, is pretty big. Triathlon, is it growing?
Triathlon is really growing. We have two Ironman events in Italy now. That is the Ironman Italy that will take place for the first time in September, and the Half Ironman Italy that took place last week. And short course triathlon is pretty popular, but there are not many people who actually practice it. There are more Ironmen that go around the world and live the experience of the Ironman as a story, as something to prove themselves. But the sad thing I would say is that our triathlon is not really popular among the national sports. So the federation is not well known. There are not many sponsors, and we are looking abroad to feel comfortable with this. We are trying to have a bigger movement, but it's not so easy. So it will come, I think, in the next years.
Federica, what was it that made you fall in love with the sport after that first 70.3? What do you love about the sport of triathlon and particularly Ironman?
I love two things the most. The first thing is that you can't predict the race, because it's such a long race that anything can happen. And so you can't have a plan and stick to a plan. You have to have a plan, of course, because it's a long journey, and you can't just go and say, okay, I'll do my Ironman today. But there are so many different conditions that involve your health, the weather, mechanics in your bike, that anything really can happen to the finish line. And the other thing that I love is that you really prepare this journey, and the fatigue you experience throughout the journey are really rewarding at the finish line. At the finish line, it's you with your fatigue, and you say, okay, I did this, and it's all my work. So this gratification is something unique in my opinion.
Yeah, and particularly in today's day and age where everything is about sort of immediate gratification, whereas training for an Ironman, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes months. And if you put the right training in and you do the hard work, race day is a celebration for all the hard work that you've done, and almost a reward where you get to celebrate the months and months of hard work you've put in.
Yeah, exactly. That is. It's something you say, okay, I worked hard, I sacrificed a lot of time, a lot of energy, actually, but it was worth it. And when it's not worth it, it's something really, I don't know, it's delusional. The only delusion I had was in South Africa this year, because I was prepared, I was in top shape, but then I got a flat on the bike, and so I lost like 20 minutes on the bike, and I didn't have the result I expected, and that was awful. It was such a delusion that all my work didn't pay off, but just part of the Ironman. As I was saying before, the fascinating thing is that you can't predict what is going to happen on race day, so you have to deal with that and just look for the next race.
Yeah, I mean, how do you deal with disappointment? By the sounds of it, you almost burst onto the scene. You qualified for Kona at your first sort of attempt at an Ironman. But you have, like you say, at Ironman South Africa this year, you had a disappointment. How do you deal with it from a mental perspective? What do you say to yourself to not sort of beat yourself up that something like that does happen that's out of your control?
Well, my reaction was enrolling in Ironman Lanzarote one month later, so that I could myself that I was ready, I was going to smash it, and no matter what, I was going to Kona. And it worked for me because I had another target, and I was working hard for it. So, and in Lanzarote, I actually took this slot for Kona again. So I think putting another target in sight is a good thing to deal with the stress and the disappointment.
Well, you've been to Kona before. You're going again. What is it that is so special about Kona? What's the attraction?
Well, Kona is something unique itself. It's the whole race week is a sort of triathlon party. You feel like a hero. They make you feel like a hero. Everywhere you go, you have your Kona bracelet, and the people are staring at you and make you feel really like you did something extraordinary. And the whole Kailua Kona village is becoming a sort of a giant expo. And you go around the streets and everybody is giving you free things or gifts. And there is an atmosphere that is so special. It's like, I don't know, if you have never been there, you can't really understand what is it being there. And race day is something extraordinary. The day before, when you go to the transition zone, they make you feel like you are the most important athlete in the world. You have volunteers helping you, taking care of your bike, taking care of you, explaining everything, giving you all the advice, all the information you will need for race day, and you are among many athletes that are in your same condition, and there is a general excitement everywhere you go, and it's something fantastic in my opinion, because you are sharing your journey with other people that are sharing your same passion. And I come from all around the world to experience this in Hawaii. So it's wow. It's extraordinary.
Federica, your first one, you mentioned you sort of blew up on the run and hung on for second. You going back this year, obviously with the ambition to win, that's the plan?
Yeah, of course that's the plan. But as it happened in South Africa, I can't predict what will be on race day, but of course I'm training hard to improve my placement. That's the aim.
What is the biggest lesson that Ironman has taught you, the biggest life lesson?
Hard work pays off. Maybe something that you can take from Ironman. But the thing, in my opinion, that is most important is determination, because Ironman is mostly a mental game. You can train hard, you can be the fastest on the bike, the fastest on the run, the best swimmer in the world, but if you're not dealing with your mental games, you won't win any race, in my opinion. Because there are many moments during the race in which you have a crisis, you want to just stop, just listen to your body that it's complaining and asking you to stop the pain. But if you have the good motivation, the good a great determination, you'll deal with it, and you'll keep on going. So it's really the thing that your mental games are bringing you to the to your target more than your body and your physical preparation.
Let's talk about your mental sort of challenges and how you get over them. Everyone talks about the three disciplines, the swim, the bike, and the run, but you're right. It is such a mental game. What are some of the things that you do to mentally prepare yourself and also to mentally make yourself stronger, but then also on race day when you're struggling to get yourself out of those deep holes and the dark patches mentally?
Okay. Before the race, I do a lot of visualization. So I make sure to know the course so that I can imagine myself during the course and imagine all the possible situations. So I think if I get flat here, I do this. If I have cramps in this place, I'll do that. Because on race day, you aren't that ready to think of plan B. You have to have an automatization in the beginning. So I make sure to prepare myself in advance. Then on race day, as I said before, I'm really competitive. So I think of all the other girls that are against me, and I think can't I be better than them? There's no reason I can't be better than them. So I keep pushing as hard as I can. And a couple of months ago, I read an interview of Sebastian Kille, and I read a phrase that became my mantra, that is, if it's hurting me, it's killing them. So every time I'm struggling, I think if it's hurting me, it's killing them, and I keep on going and think it will be worth it.
I love that. That is fantastic. Federico, we've got a lot of triathletes who are just starting out in the sport that listen to this podcast. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out in the sport and thinking of possibly doing their first Ironman?
The first thing, have fun during training. If you are not having fun while you're training, you won't get there. Because if you're struggling in your daily routine, you just won't make it. Because your motivation it won't be enough. You will just be frustrated. It won't worth it. And the second thing, don't be so lonely. Everybody says that Ironman is one self journey, and I agree with that. But that is on race day. During the preparation, you have to share your journey with your family, with your friends, with your coach, with your teammates. And I think this is really important to improve yourself and also learn something from the others' experience.
You mentioned your coach. Did you get a coach straight away when you first started in the sport, or did you, after that first 70.3, decide, you know what, I want to get better at this, I need to get help?
No, after the 70.3, I decided I needed some help. And having an external eye on what you are doing is fundamental, in my opinion, because the risk to do too much or to lose the sight of what you're doing is really high. So it's really important to me to have a coach that tells me, okay, now you have to rest, or okay, now it's time to push.
You obviously got the ambition to head back to Kona in 2017 and win, but what do you still want to achieve in the sport beyond Kona 2017? What do you want to achieve?
Well, this year, in my opinion, will be a great test for me to see if I can get something further in the sport or just be a good age group. Because I'm in the sport, I started just in 2014, but in 3 years I really improved. So, if this year I can achieve some great results, also, in the absolute and not in my age group, I can think of passing pro next year and, keep on, with my studies, but just slow them down so that I can manage to be a pro too. If this year I see that I just had my peak performance last year and I won't improve any better, I'll keep going, be a good age grouper and keep on with my studies and do something that will be a sort of physician, coach, athlete, I don't know where, what.
As far as the coach that you mentioned, what do you look for in a coach? What's important to you?
Well, I don't really need a coach that motivates me because I have a lot of motivation myself, but I need a coach that tells me what to do specifically, scientifically during trainings. Because not coming from any of the sports, I lack a lot of abilities in the swim, in the bike, and in the run. I need a person who tells me what's the right way to do things, what are the right drills to do, what are the the things I have to look for during training and during the race. And the other important thing is that my coach has to be close to me, in my opinion. I live in Milan and my coach lives in Milan and I see him like 4 times a week. And it's really important that your coach sees you, sees your improvements, and sees you also psychologically so that he can be able to understand if you are tired, if you are not training well because you have something else in your mind, or you are improving because you're in a good mood, etc.
Fantastic. Well, Federica, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Cone Edge. I look forward to chatting to you about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for another time. Thanks for your time today.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Brad. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much to Federica. I hope you enjoyed that story. And I just love getting all the different accents on the podcast. And I'm sure you're listening to this thinking, but you've got an accent. I don't have an accent. I just love everyone else's accent. So we've added another tick into, or another check into the box for another country as far as guests go on the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed that. And don't forget, if you'd like to reach out, you can pop me an email. brad@theconaedge.com is my email address. Come straight into my inbox if you have any questions or suggestions, or if you'd like to find out more about the show, or if you know someone who you think would be a great guest, let me know. That's brad@theconaedge.com is my email address. Until tomorrow, have yourself a superb one. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.